Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who's also the author of The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Enjoy today, folks. It's the last day that Jim will be on the Three Martini Lunch for almost 2 weeks. He's got some things that he has to take care of professionally and some much-needed vacation time coming up. So, Jim, I expect you to give full effort today as you think about the beach.
Welcome to Nervous Breakdown Watch, Part 1.
All right. The good martini today is a little bit contrived, but not really, because this Hillary Clinton book, the other book, as we like to call it, that came out earlier this month, has not been a good rollout. The book has not been well received by critics. We've chronicled that. We just found out in the last 24 hours that it's not selling particularly well, well below publisher expectations. And she's made a series of gaffes. First of all, calling her and Bill Clinton dead broke when they left the White House. Then saying she took responsibility, but isn't to blame for anything that happened in Benghazi. Now she's been interviewed by Jane Pauley, who clearly just wants a woman to be president, and she'd prefer it to be Hillary, since that seems to be the easiest path to that goal. And here's how Hillary responded to that pressure.
Who is the viable woman of either party who could win a primary nomination in 2016, mm-hmm. if not you?
Well, I think there are a number of qualified women.
I'm not saying qualified.
Who are holding office. But politics is so unpredictable. Whoever runs has to recognize that the American political system is probably the most difficult, even brutal, in the world.
Jim, there's a lot of scrutiny in the American political system, but brutal? She was Secretary of State. She should know a lot of countries around the world, you can easily lose your life if you decide to challenge the sitting regime.
For starters, I've never seen an interviewer like berate the interview subject into running for president. Who else is going to do it, Hillary, if not you? You have a responsibility. But like, for some reason, to Jane Pauley, it's like, how dare you consider not running? You are running, Hillary Clinton, whether you like it or not. You know? So that's the first bizarre thing. But then that the American political system is the most brutal in the world. Forget you know, dictatorships and you know, thugocracies and you know, near anarchic states and all that kind of stuff. Let's just go to Great Britain. Let's just go across the pond and observe that once a week the opposition party gets to berate the prime minister with questions that really are comparable to, say, Jane Pauley. On the one hand, this makes for fascinating television. If you've ever seen Questions of the Prime Minister, like once a week, this really fantastic debate in which the, you know, with the entire House of Commons scoffing at the prime minister's responses. You know, that for about a half hour or so, or an hour, I'm not sure exactly how long it takes, they get to ask tough questions of why are your policies not working out? Aren't you a miserable failure at everything you're doing? And the prime minister responds, no, actually, we're doing fantastic. It's you guys who've been proven a failure, and you're just, you know, but like that's roughneck. What makes this the good martini is that there's two things that have come out from this book tour that remind people things they don't like about Hillary and I think should be deeply troubling in a potential president. One is an inability to see oneself as ever making a mistake or being wrong. Now, Hillary does say in the book that she got the Iraq war vote wrong and stuff like that. But she's always the victim. She's always the one who's being wronged. Everybody else is always being mean to her and stuff like that. There's no sense that she herself commands a fairly impressive media and political powerhouse, and that she has been, you know, one of the most powerful voices in our politics for the past, you know, really 20 years. So there's that, and then kind of this persecution complex and this sense of, you know, all criticism of her is illegimate and kind of, you know, this sense of defensiveness and quickness to go after other people. Like, you know, they're not just, you know, giving her scrutiny, they're being brutal and stuff like that. So these are not traits I think you really want to have in a president. I think you could argue every politician has these tendencies to one degree or another, but this is not a good indicator. I have a very hard time seeing people looking at this book tour and saying, yeah, that's exactly what I want in the Oval Office for 4 years to 8 years. We'd be so much better off with that kind of an attitude dealing with the crises of the day.
Yeah. You almost hope and wish more people were paying attention now. We were kind of just hoping they would go away.
Yeah, she's lucked out that the news has been so great lately.
Exactly. Anyway, you mentioned the UK political system. The UK is also in our bad martini today. We could have picked really just about anything related to Iraq and Iran in the bad martini today, but this from the BBC. British Foreign Secretary William Hague has said plans to reopen the British embassy in Tehran are an important step forward in relations with Iran. He says the circumstances were right following an improvement in bilateral relations in recent months, Full diplomatic relations with Iran were suspended after attacks on the British embassy in Iran in 2011. The election of a new Iranian president and a deal on Iran's nuclear program has led to renewed contacts this year. Jim, we have to obviously understand they're in a different situation than we are. They didn't have the same type of hostage crisis we had back in the late 70s and early 80s. They're not the great, the intermediate, or the little Satan in terms of Iran. So they've got a slightly different relationship there. But it appears this Iranian charm offensive with the new president is gaining more ground than we'd like to see. And especially with ISIS on the warpath, Iran's almost looking to some like the cuddly partner in the region, which is only a disaster waiting to happen.
We can summarize this bad martini pretty succinctly. It looks like Iran is getting enormous benefits diplomatically, and they have not renounced pursuing a nuclear weapon. They have not given up their nuclear program. They've not agreed to extensive new inspections or any of that kind of stuff. They have not renounced the use of terrorism. They still chant, you know, death to the great Satan. They're still the same guys. Yet somehow, because of the rise of ISIS, because of the crisis in Iraq, that we're all willing to overlook them being buddy-buddy with Bashar Assad and him using chemical weapons and stuff like that. John Kerry, to foreshadow our third martini, is talking about us doing joint military actions with the Iranians, which is just crazy talk. This was an NCO. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards were trying to help the insurgents kill our guys over in Iraq. But I guess all is forgiven. I guess it's all hunky-dory because of how bad ISIS is. And the enemy of my enemy is not always my friend. If there was a legitimately different regime in Iran, if there was a legitimately changed signals of a change in the mentality and philosophy and methods of that government, it'd be a different story. But it really seems like this administration and maybe all around the world wants to see peace so badly that we're willing to see progress when there isn't, and we're willing to treat every minor concession they make as a game changer and wholeheartedly embrace them. It's hard not to see that this won't, you know, turn around and bite us in the butt at some point in the not too distant future.
Very encouraging. As you mentioned, John Kerry focusing part of his time on Iraq and Iran, but not all of his time. This from Daily Variety, which is always a source for the three martini lunch. Leonardo DiCaprio is set to speak at the State Department's Our Ocean Conference Tuesday morning. Secretary of State John Kerry will introduce DiCaprio, who will speak immediately after a video appearance by President Obama. Said Secretary Kerry, "I'm pleased that Leo DiCaprio is lending his powerful voice to our call to action to work together to protect the world's ocean." So while he has responsibility to be dealing with Iraq and Iran, that's what Kerry's spending at least part of his time on. And Jim, you mentioned this, I think it was just yesterday, that climate change, no matter what else is going on in the world, is going to be the driving drumbeat of this administration, along with a couple of other things, because we're seeing it from the VA, too, like they don't have other things to worry about.
It's almost comical to see John Kerry doing this live chat with Leonardo DiCaprio discussing the status of the world's oceans. I guess the idea is that DiCaprio is there as an expert because he drowned in the ocean in Titanic. DiCaprio has made great movies, and we kind of, you know, I don't mean to pick on him too much, but he was offering really great pearls of wisdom, Greg, including, like, if we lose the world's oceans, we're really in trouble. And I think that says it all, Greg. If somehow the world's oceans were to cease to exist, we would be in trouble because all of our boats would have no. And just, you know, I think Kerry said, just imagine the yachting, Leo. Imagine how hard it would be to go out and on our yachts. So we have an administration that is decided. Their priorities are global warming, minimum wage hike, comprehensive immigration reform, even though we've got this tidal wave of unattended kids coming across the border. I mean, you're just going down all of these issues that, you know, when most public opinion polls are pretty low on their list of priorities, the public's priorities, but they've decided they're important, and they're not going to let a little thing like the world burning down be the problem, you know, interrupt their discussion of this kind of stuff. And, like, you know, in a normal administration, they would say, you know what, look, we're in the middle of a crisis right here. Baghdad is under siege. Terrorists are taken over a big chunk of Syria, and they're going to try to take over a good chunk of Iraq. We have to focus on this. I have to go work on this kind of stuff. Instead, we're going to hang out with a Hollywood star and talk about this, you know, feel good, save the whales environmental topic. And it just is this mind-boggling. The big problems in the world are getting worse, and we have administration just completely out to lunch and not paying attention to this sort of thing. The only thing solace I can take, Greg, is that as much as John Kerry seems like he has no idea what's going on here, you know, the good news is I'm sure Chuck Hagel would handle this stuff, right, Greg? to feel better?
I'm sure he can.
That's an excellent quote of Secretary Hagel. Do you remember him? Because it doesn't feel like he never does press and he never talks. Like, it's like he's in the witness protection program. But they're just worth noting, just since I'm enjoying the topic of picking on Chuck Hagel. So a little while back, I talked about it because I remember there was a Bill Press, who is a left of center columnist, wrote, Chuck Hagel has not been a particularly strong voice in the administration. When foreign policy decisions are being discussed, Hagel kind of recedes into the background. He hasn't been a major player in these big decisions. So I write that stuff, and I said, you know, I wrote a picture of Hagel, and I wrote, if you've seen this man, please dial 202, and then I put in a number. I guess the guy who writes covers defense topics for Politico didn't like it, gets angry, and thought that number was my cell phone number, and decided to call to give me a piece of his mind. Unfortunately, under, if you've seen this man, if so, call 202, blah, 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 it was actually the White House switchboard I had him call to. So, one, I'm kind of surprised he didn't know that was the number. You know, if you have seen Secretary Hagel, please let the White House know, because you think in circumstances like this, we're sending troops into Iraq, you figure he'd be doing, you know, press conferences and stuff like that. Then again, maybe they decided to keep him away from the cameras as much as possible.
Yeah, no matter what the case being made is, I'm sure he's not going to help them make it very much. But that is his job,
He's got dibs on Leo next, so...
Jim, good luck getting through the next few days. Enjoy your time off in there as well. We'll see you back here on June 30th.
See you June 30th, Greg. Take care.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Make sure if you haven't already got your copy of The Weed Agency to go out and get that. We'll be back on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.